Let's sing the first, second, third, and fifth verses. 1, 2, 3, and 5. I will sing the wondrous story. Let's stand and sing. 468.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Singing with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was known just as healed me, faint was I from many a fall. Me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I see the wondrous story of the Christ died for me. Singing with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me to the river of the squires and my feet, and he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall be. Yes, I sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Let's remember our folks today. It's good to have Miss Betty back. She's had a time of it. And we're glad that she's back in the service today. Pray for Sister Moore. She's sick, been sick for 4 days now. And pray that you pray for her health. And continue to pray for our shut-ins. Let's pray for Sister Poovy, Sister Parsons, Brother Junior. And pray that the Lord will help them, bless them. And then good to have some visitors here today. Brother Johnny brought some of his kinfolk today. So praise the Lord. Good to have them in the service. And good to have you and good to have Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He said where two or three gathered together in his midst, he's right there. So I'm glad he is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for your love and mercy. We pray that you'll bless our time together today. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and do something in our hearts and lives that we can give you praise for when we stand before you one day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and pray for the choir.
Number 68 choir. Page number 68 in the church of Bush. Number 68. Sets us joy to understand.
I'm going that way.
since praying since all day long, not going back way. Thank you, choir.
All right, thank you, choir, for that good singing. Let's turn to hymn number 460 in your red book. 460, we are leaning on the everlasting arms as we stand. And this will be our fellowship song. We'll sing the first, second fellowship and come back on the last. 460. While she's getting ready, we got a flyer in the mail. Dr. Joe Arthur will be in revival meeting Monday and Tuesday night at the Timberlake Baptist Church. So if your schedule permits and you'd like to go, then invite you to be sure and go and support the meeting. So remember that in prayer. All right. You ready, sister?
Are you burdened with sorrow, afflicted with sin, rejecting the Spirit that wants to come in? Do you hear a voice calling? Oh, why do you wait? Won't you seek Jesus before it's too late? Are you standing on dangerous ground? Is your name in life's book written down? Do you carry the cross where you trod? Oh, how are you standing with God? Have you once walked with Jesus in the care of His love? And when you were burdened, sought help from above? Is the light that was shining gone out in your soul? How far have you drifted away from the fold? Are you standing on dangerous ground? Is your name in life's book written down? Do you carry the cross where you trod? Oh, how are you standing with God? Are you standing on dangerous ground? And is your name in life's book written down? Do you carry the cross where you trod? And how are you standing with God?
Amen. All right. Thank you, sister, for that good message and song. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of the Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation, chapter 4.
Last night my wife and I were talking on the phone with the pastor's wife, friend of ours from up in Roanoke, and I guess she's in her mid-60s, and we were just having some talk about some things, and we were talking about the economy, we were talking about the Social Security aspect of things, and she said very dogmatically, she says, I believe that we are in the last minutes of the last hour of the world before Jesus comes back. And I agree with her on that. I've said this several times. I believe that Gabriel is licking his lips and getting ready to blow a trumpet. I don't see how things can go on much longer. Globally, economically, this world is set up more than it ever has for this particular prophecy that we read in the Bible concerning the collapse of nations. It's just here. It cannot be long. And when it happens, we're going to look here in chapter 4, and we're going to look this morning for a few minutes on the subject of the rapture of the church. And what's going to happen, and what can we expect about the rapture? And then this is going to lead into the afternoon service as well. Some things I want to bring out this afternoon in this same passage. But we're going to look, and I'm going to read right now probably just verses 1 and 2, and then we'll see how we go from there. It says in verse 1, after this I looked, this is John the Apostle that's talking here, on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Let's stop right there. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning and help us, Lord, to understand that the hours are very short, we believe, before you come back. Help us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to show you five things this morning that have to do with the rapture of the church that's given here in two verses that maybe you've never thought about concerning the coming of the Lord. Now, he's coming back one day. That's very clear. It's talked about, prophesied in the Word of God. He's coming back. You say, how do you know that he's coming back? I know that he's coming back because he said he was. He says, and if I go, I will prepare a place for you and will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, if you got the nerve to call the Lord Jesus a liar, you go right ahead. But I don't have that kind of nerve because he's not a liar. He said in that same chapter, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is truth. There is no lie in the Lord Jesus. And everything that he said in this Bible will come to pass. Rest assured of that. We know Dr. Bottlestopper and Professor Big Mouth, who always talk about the fact that this Bible is full of errors and contradictions. Well, that's a lie. Because everything in this Bible that's going to take place will take place. And God is no respecter of persons. He will take care of it, sure as the world. So let me show you some things. Five things that go along with the rapture of the church. First of all, the first thing I see in this passage is there's going to be a voice. There's going to be a voice. After this, now after what? In chapters 2 and 3, as you know, in your study of the Bible, chapters 2 and 3 deal with the seven churches of Asia Minor. Depending on how you look at that, the seven churches, some Bible teachers, Dr. Schofield, if you have a Schofield Bible, will say that they believe that, and probably the Rock of Ages Study Bible will say it also. They believe those seven churches represent seven church dispensations of time. And that the last two churches, the Church of Philadelphia and the Church of Laodicea, represent the two churches that will go side by side in these last hours before the rapture of the church. The Philadelphia church represents the true church, the born-again believers that love the Lord. The Laodicean church represents the cold, dead church that really doesn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And they cohabitate side by side right now. And in just a while, when all things are said and done, then there's going to be a rapture. So after this, in chapter 4, referring back to chapters 2 and 3, after this, I looked. John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me. How can a trumpet talk? We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's deal with the voice first. The voice is going to say, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, what's going to happen at the rapture of the church? We're going to hear a voice. Now, I remember in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said this. He said about the sheep, he said, my sheep hear my voice and know me, and I know them. And there's going to be a rapture, and when the rapture takes place, we're going to hear a voice. And that voice is going to cry out to believers and say, come up hither. And also going to say, they will also say, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a time in which you and I are going to be caught up and we're going to hear a voice. And that voice is going to say, come up hither. Will other people hear that voice? No. Why? Because of the principle of John chapter 10, my sheep know my voice. We are the sheep of God and we are going to hear his voice. The people in the world will not hear his voice because he will not be calling them. They cannot hear the voice of one who is not their master. Okay? So they're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. There will be, as we're going to point out in just a few moments, there will be a violent taking away of God's people. And we will be snatched away and caught away, but it's going to start with the statement, come up hither. How important is this statement to say, come up hither? It's important because of what the Word of God has to say to us. It's important because it's the words of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ says something, it's a done deal. You remember in John chapter 11, when the Lord Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, and he said, "Roll the stone away." And they came to him, Martha especially, and said, "Now, Lord," said, "he's been dead for 3 days, and he stinketh. And when you take and roll that stone away, there's going to be this smell of this decayed flesh that's going to hit us right in the face, right in the nose, and we're not going to be able to take it." But he said, "Nonetheless, roll the stone away," and they rolled the stone away, and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And I believe this, and I've heard preachers say it, and I think it's as good a definition as anything. When he said, "Lazarus, come forth," he gave permission for one dead person and one dead person alone to come out of the tomb, and that was Lazarus. If he said, "Come forth," then he probably would have resurrected every dead body on earth at that time. But he was specific, and he said, "Lazarus, and only Lazarus, you come forth." Now notice the statement, how similar that is. Come forth. Notice where it says in Revelation 4:1, "Come up hither." Okay? So I read in the Bible, when it talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus, it's talked about in the book of Revelation, it's even talked about in the book of the Song of Solomon. It says, "Behold, he cometh." The book of Jude says, "He cometh with 10,000 of his saints." And so that word "come" is very important in relation to the rapture of the church. You remember Peter, when Peter decided to walk on the water. But Peter could not walk on the water until Jesus said something. Jesus said, "Come hither." Told him to come out of the boat and come to where he was. Anybody can walk on water if Jesus gives them permission to do that. Did you know that? You could walk on water if you wanted to, if Jesus gave you permission to do it. And when Peter got out and walked, however long he did, somebody said, "Well, he didn't last long. He did longer than I would have." He did longer than you would have. He done longer than anybody, because Jesus gave Peter and Peter alone the opportunity to be able to walk on water. And however long it was, is longer than anybody else ever had. Somebody said that Peter was the world record water walker. And so I think there's a lot of truth in that. God gave him permission to walk on that water, and he did, and he was taken. And then when he began to sink, the Bible says he didn't sink, but he began to sink. Lord Jesus picked him up, put him back in the boat. The Lord is always concerned and cares about us, and he takes care of us. And you see in each one of those situations, the Lord Jesus, as he takes and he calls people to himself. Spiritually, does that not work? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The message of the Bible is come. Come and dine, that old song says. Come and dine. And there's so many messages. Come, 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 come. And so the Bible teaches. So here's a voice, and the voice says for us to come. If I flip back just for a moment to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, that is one of the great passages in the Bible that deals with the rapture of the church. And it says in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, it says this in verse number 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." Now, what do you think he shouted? I don't know. But in conjunction with this paragraph, he could shout, and the shout could have been, "Come up hither!" Because whatever takes place when it happens, it's going to happen. The Lord's going to give the say, and he gives a shout, and the shout may be the words, "Come up hither," and then we're going to go up into the presence of the Lord. So there's going to be a voice. There's going to be a voice. And Revelation 4, 1 Thessalonians 4, all give record there's going to be a voice. But now let's look at something else. This is where some people get confused, because they think maybe there's a contradiction in the Bible. Not only is there going to be a voice, but there's going to be the sound of a trumpet. Now look back at Revelation 4, look at verse 1 again. "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me." I didn't know trumpets could talk. You ever heard a trumpet? Ever heard a trumpet player? A trumpet player, anybody that can effectively play a trumpet is a wonderful musician. Trumpets are difficult from what I see. I do not play any musical instruments. I can play the radio. That's about it. But I can't play a trumpet or anything, but I observe people who play a trumpet, and you can always tell when you hear a concert or a solo, a trumpet player, you can always tell when he's off. It doesn't take much to be off. That little tweak, if you will, and it just throws it off completely. You can tell. But if you can find one that is an expert at what he does, it's a beautiful, beautiful instrument. The Bible says that when that rapture takes place, there's going to be a trumpet sound. Okay? And it says that that trumpet will talk with me. Now, if I go back again to First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 again, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." I see that again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about the fact there's going to be a voice, there's going to be a shout, there's going to be a trumpet sound that's going to take place. You say, well, can a trumpet talk? If God wants it to, it can do anything God wants. If God wants it to tap dance, it can do that. If God wants it to scream, it can do that. If God wants it to play some melancholy note, it can do that. Because he's God, and God can do anything he wants to do. And so it says there's a trumpet sound. And that trumpet sound is likened unto a voice that cries out. I read in the book of Revelation that there's a great choir that's going to sing in heaven. And they are going to sing as the voices of many waters. What a sound that is. Have you ever been someplace? Some of you may have had the privilege. I have not. I'd love to go to Niagara Falls. I have been in some of those IMAX theaters that you go into these entertainment parks, and I've seen them. We went into one time and had one of those IMAX theaters that the screen was all the way around the theater, and they were doing a thing on the Niagara Falls. I mean, they even had a little setup to where you got sprinkled by water to make it feel like the water was coming in on you a little bit. And it was awesome to see that. And I'm thinking to myself, and I heard the rumbling of those waters. And I'm thinking to myself, the Bible says that in heaven there will be a massive crowd of people that are going to be singing, and their singing of all things is compared to the voice of many waters. There's something about voices in the Bible. Do you remember the voice of the Lord that's talked about in the book of Samuel? When little Samuel is taken to the temple, Eli is asleep, the old prophet is asleep, and as he lays there, there's a voice that comes to little Samuel and says, "Samuel." Samuel thinks that it's Eli, and he gets up and he says, "Yes, sir. What is it, master?" And he says, "I didn't say anything to you. Go back to bed, son." He went back to bed. This happened three times. The third time, finally, the old prophet got wise, and he said, "Next time that voice comes to you, say to them, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And so the voice of the Lord can be great and booming like great waters, but it can also be small and quiet and minute because God speaks in such powerful ways. And so there's a voice that's going to take place. And that voice is going to call us. And that voice is intertwined with a trumpet. And that trumpet is going to blare in such a way. But the irony of this whole situation is that people down here on earth won't hear a thing. And we'll go into that in just a second. Now, there's a voice, there's a trumpet. Then there's going to be an upward calling. An upward calling. It says this in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven." Now, where do you think about just for a second? How does a door open? We go out. We go out that door. We can go through this door. We can go through that door. If we go to the office, we go in that door. But the doors swing, if you will, east to west. That door can only swing one of two directions. That's going to be north and south, because that door is going to open, and that's where we're going to heaven. Is we're going that way. We're going to be taken and we're going to be raptured. And we'll talk about that. But there's going to be a calling. And that calling is going to be the calling to take us into the presence of the Lord. An upward calling. We're going up. We're going to take up out of this place. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that is a great chapter that deals again with the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. Let me read chapter 2 and verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." Now in just a second, we're going to spend some time talking about that gathering. But notice that the Bible says there will be a gathering. That door in heaven is going to open. That there's going to be a voice that is simultaneous with a trumpet sound. And there's going to be a call. And that call is we are going to be taken literally up out of this place. It's not like we're going to do like you see on the old Bewitched show. You remember that? They'd do the blinking thing and they'd disappear. And the way they did tricks like that on the TV is that they'd pause the camera. And when they do the vanishing scene, then they would just move off the camera. Then everybody else that was on there had to stand still. And then they'd restart the camera. That was the way they did their thing in as far as Hollywood is concerned. Well, we're going to go out of here and there's not going to be any camera stopping. There's not going to be anybody where it says, all right, stay where you are so we can adjust the cameras. It's not going to be that. The Bible says there's going to be an upward calling. And we're going to be gathered away, the Bible says. And we'll see in just a second what that involves. Now, let's look at this in verse number 4. The fourth thing in verse number 2. It says there is a microsecond event that's going to take place. Look at verse 2. "And immediately I was in the Spirit." Now, I don't know how many people are going to leave this earth, but it's going to be a bunch of us. Because not only are there a bunch of us alive going up out of here, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up unto the coming of the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So I don't know how many trillions of people. I think probably trillions is a safe underestimation of how many people are going to be taken up out of here. But trillions of people, dead and living, are going to be caught up out of this place. That means that our old grandmas and grandpas and our mamas and our daddies and our little babies and are going to be taken up. Those dear precious babies, even that were aborted or lost at childbirth, they're going to heaven. And so there's going to be multitudes upon multitudes of people that's going to be in heaven, that's going to be called into the presence of the Lord. And so it's going to be a microsecond event because it says, "And immediately." Now, if you will, hold your place in Revelation and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a second. Let's see how fast this thing's going to happen. How quickly is this thing called the rapture going to take place? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, while you're turning there, let's recapitulate what we've talked about. When the Lord comes back, there's going to be a door open in heaven. And the Bible says there'll be a door open in heaven. There's going to be a voice that's going to sound. And the voice is synonymous with a trumpet. And the trumpet's going to blow. And the voice is going to say, "Come up hither." And then we're going to go into the presence of the Lord. It's substantiated by the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's going to help us see a little bit more about this wonderful event. In chapter 15, look at verse number... I think I really need to back up to verse... Let's back up to verse 47, and I want to work my way down. Verse 47, "The first man is of the earth, earthly," or earthy. "The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also which are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Now that's very important. Verse 50 is important. And I'll explain it to you in a minute involving the rapture. Now verse number 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." That's a good verse to put on the door of the nursery, isn't it? "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Get your diapers out." Amen. So sometimes that's a good thing to do with babies. But we're not going to sleep. Those that are dead are not going to stay in the ground. The Bible says that we shall all be changed. How quickly? Verse 52, "In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." There's that trumpet again. "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ," or the dead, "shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now let's stop there for a moment. I wanted to read verse number 50 because it's important. It says, and this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, let's say that the rapture of the church took place on Sunday morning during church. Let's say that we had in this church lost people. The lost people at the rapture will be left behind. But in so doing, there will be a horrifying event that will take place. If they're sitting here, and if you're saved, and the rapture takes place, and you take off out of here because you are saved, what's going with you and what's not? Did you notice that in that, what was it, the 49th verse? Or the 50th verse? 50th verse said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, do you know why you and I are sinners? The reason that we're sinners, the reason that the Bible says in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The reason that Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The reason is because the thing that makes me a sinner is not what I do. The thing that makes me a sinner is the blood that runs through my veins. Because my ancestors were sinners. The bloodline comes through the Father. And that means that because my father was sinful, a sinner, then the blood that goes through my veins are sinful blood, and the blood that goes through my daughter's veins is sinful blood because my blood is sinful blood. You see what I'm saying? And that's why it was important that Jesus Christ be born of a virgin, because if there was a relationship, a physical relationship between Mary and Joseph, there would have been a sinful bloodline in the body of Jesus. That's why there could not be an earthly father, because the blood that went through the veins of Jesus was a father's blood, but not the earthly father's blood. It was the heavenly father's blood, and that blood was sinless and perfect blood. Now, the rapture took place, and lost people were in this auditorium when the rapture took place. They would see a ghastly sight. They would see our clothes. They would see our glasses. They would see our jewelry. You say, there's nothing ghastly about that, preacher. Well, they will also see our blood. Because the only thing that's going to be taken is this body. The blood will be left. There will be puddles of blood in the place of where believers are. Okay? Because that is corruptible blood. It cannot go to heaven. Now, this body will go because the Bible says that my body is terrestrial. In this very chapter, it says my body is terrestrial. It's of the earth, and it will be changed to celestial. It will be transformed, and I will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, how long is a twinkle? If you blinked your eyes one time, that is not a twinkle. That's a blink. A twinkle, of all things, according to General Electric, they did a study better than 20-some years ago, and for some reason, I don't know how they got out of it, but they said that a twinkle was as long as it takes a little ray or light from the sun to come and to hit the retina of my eye and to return to the sun. I believe that they said that was something like 1/1100th of a second. That's fast. And the Bible says that we are going to be here and then we're going to be taken out. How quickly? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump. Revelation chapter 4. And immediately. And we're going out of here. Now, there are going to be people that's going to weep and cry, and they're going to say that they missed it, they missed it, they missed it, and they will, because it's going to happen that fast. It's not going to be a case where somebody's going to reach down from heaven like an angel's going to reach us and pick us up and carry us slowly. It's not going to be that way, because what did I read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1? It says, we shall be gathered away, and the idea is a violent gathering away. I mean a snatching away. I mean, Bible says being caught up, and it's be done in a violent manner. We'll be out of here. That's the rapture. And it's going to happen. I touched on this, but I'll touch on it one more time. The fifth thing that's going to characterize it is a bodily change. I mean, we're going to change. And I just talked about it. I talked about the blood issue. I talked about all of that. But let's talk about the good positive thing of when we get to heaven. When we get to heaven, no more glasses. No more diabetes. No more hearing problems. No more difficulties in just having physical mobility. No speech impediments. No brain damage. It's all going to be changed. Brother Buddy, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to worry about that wheelchair. You're not going to have to worry about hearing, because you're going to hear everything in heaven. We're all going to have changed, glorified bodies. Those of us that have physical infirmities, and sometimes you don't feel well, and sometimes you just... you just can't seem to put one foot in front of the other. There will be a day when we go into the presence of the Lord. We won't have to worry about none of that anymore. Not going to have to worry about those wisdom teeth. I have to worry about that cancer and all the problems that you have to deal with. You don't have to deal with it when you get to heaven, because the Bible says that we shall be changed. How quickly? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, and immediately I was in the Spirit. What did he see when he got there? Verse 2 says in Revelation chapter 4, he saw a throne. What about that? And he saw a throne that was set in heaven, and one that sat upon the throne. Now, if I were to ask you, when you get to heaven, what do you want to see first? Our minds automatically go to those who are our loved ones who have gone on the other side. That's as common and as natural as it can be. But if I understand that this is a guide in any way, the first thing I'm going to see when I get to heaven is Jesus. And well, it should be, because He's the one that died for my sins. He's the one that gave His life. He's the one that's helped me through my life and been better to me than any human being could ever be. So I think it's a good thing when I get to heaven that the first person I see when I get to heaven is Jesus and see the throne. And I think it's so interesting when you see, and we're going to see this in the afternoon service, because this afternoon I'm going to preach, and I'll show you just a little bit in advance what I'm going to preach on. You'll look down in verse number, verse number 10 says, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. We're going to talk about crowns in the Bible in the 2 o'clock service, and use this passage. And when we get to heaven and we think, what am I going to do when I get to heaven? Or how am I going to act when I get to heaven? Or... you know, and that's all right. You can think about it, but you know what the Bible says? I have not seen, nor has ear heard, the things that the Father hath for them that love Him. And I don't know, I don't rightly know what heaven's going to be like. The Bible is very unclear about a lot of things. My wondering is, when I get to heaven, how do I act when I get to heaven? But I'm going to have a glorified body, so that's not going to be a problem. There are wonderful things about heaven. Wonderful things. The Bible talks about the fact there's going to be the water of the river of life And I wonder what that's going to be like. There's going to be trees with fruit. Praise the Lord. If we want to eat something in heaven, we can eat fruit if we want to. I don't think you have to eat, but if you want to, you can. There's going to be no sad, little bit of a downer is you ain't going to have no steaks. Not going to get no Taco Bell, and you're not going to get any McDonald's hamburgers, because when we get to heaven, it's all going to be a fruit diet. If people want to eat, they can eat. If they don't want to, you don't have to eat. Okay? But there's so many wonderful things about heaven we don't know and we don't understand. And the old preacher said it's better felt than telt. We don't understand everything about heaven. But you know what? It's sort of like you take the old horse and you take a fishing rod, and at the bottom of the line you tie a carrot. And you stick that carrot in front of that old horse, and he starts moving, thinking the closer he gets, he's going to get that carrot. But you always keep that carrot just a little bit of distance away from him. Okay? We've got enough in that Bible to keep us going on. And it's like, Lord, I'm tempted to quit, but I can't quit now. I'm too close. I can't turn back. There's too many that's gone ahead that used to be on this side, and they're on that side, and I want to see them again, and I want my Lord to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's what I want. At the rapture, there's going to be a voice. There's going to be a sound of a trumpet. There's going to be an upward calling. There's going to be a microsecond event in which we are lastly changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And all that's going to take place, all of the things we just talked about, it's taken me approximately a half hour or so to preach on, will take place in a millisecond. Anything that man concocts time-wise will always be too slow, because we're going to have a violent catching away and we're going to be snatched up out of here. People don't do it much anymore. I think they should. But you remember when, some of you remember growing up, buddy, if you did something you weren't supposed to do, your mom and daddy snatched you up. You remember those words? I'm going to snatch you up. You know, and wham! I mean, you got it, buddy. Huh? And you said, well, snatch up. You knew, and you're going to get snatched up. You got snatched up. I got news for you. That snatching is going to be a whole lot quicker than anything any parent or grandparent ever did. Now the question is, are we ready? Are you ready if you came today? Because it could. And somebody says, well, he hadn't come yet. That doesn't mean anything. Because when he comes, it's only a one-time thing. And when he comes, people talking about 9/11 changing the earth. You're right, it did. It changed a lot of things on this. I got something that'll change the world more than 9/11 ever will, and that's all the rapture of the church. So let's be ready. He could come today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the great truth of the rapture. And I pray that you'll help us. And help us to be ready. If there's somebody here that's not ready, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that you'll take the word of the Lord and that you'll pierce our hearts and our understanding and help people to get right, to get saved if they've never done it. Because this thing of the rapture that we've preached about this morning could happen at any second, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we should all be changed. And oh, what a tremendous miracle that's going to be, Lord, when we see those great things happen. So prepare our hearts. Speak to us. Help us as Christians to understand, Lord, that we as Christians need to have the rapture of the church to guide our daily lives. If the rapture takes place today, I need to live my life in such a way that people could see Jesus, and I would stand before the Lord and he would be able to say to me, well done. God, help us to see the importance of that. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother, hymn number?
Number 249, Just As I Am. Number 249. This is all stand, please. Just as
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Sister, play through one time. Let's make sure that we know we're ready to meet the Lord if He comes back today. He could. Let's make sure. Make sure everything's right 6 inches below your left collarbone. Seated, ask Brother Julius and Brother Will to come, receive the Lord's tithes and offerings. If you're able to give, again, Monday and Tuesday this week, I'll put this down on the offertory table. If you'd like to come by and see it, Dr. Joe Arthur preaching at Timberlake Baptist, Monday and Tuesday nights. So remember that in prayer. All right. Brother Julius, you lead us in prayer.
Bless the offering, Lord, grant your bless the giver, and let me have left to give, Lord. Lord, we love you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for that. For us, the best, Lord.
Amen. Like to stay, we're going to have a kind of a healthy meal at our lunchtime. We have some salad, so we might see any rabbits jumping around. You know what's going on, okay? And we'll see you at 2:00. Pizza.